time for Message in the Bottle. Brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan joining us here in studio, serenading the part of him that causes him the most grief.
That's right. If your back is going to hurt, you're going to go, Jackson 5, I want you back.
That's it.
I want you back to stop hurting so very, very
or
much.
I want your back, someone who feels right. better than mine.
Ah, ooh, grizzly. I like that. Yeah. I got a question for you, Rich.
Yes, sir.
Why have you never asked me to do a fantastic read for Downtown Live when you're... Gilbert Gottfried? Listen to these pipes.
Dude, drop one. Drop one right now in one take.
No.
Like, Heath, come on.
No, you got to beg. Maybe later.
Please, please, Eric.
I'm going to tease it, though.
All right.
This is Eric Meehan, and this is later, though.
Oh,
later.
Right there. Right there. Right to the edge.
Hey, that's what happened when your back hurts. Apparently, your pipes sound extra pipey.
I thought we already... Don't we have one from Eric? From years ago?
Did you amalgamate it out of like spots I did?
Well, he might have.
This is Eric Meehan, and you're listening to Downtown
digitally
with Rich
sampled
Kimball.
Your voice. Yeah, yeah.
We don't currently have one. It may have gotten lost in the transition.
That would be the saddest use of Gary's time ever. As Rich mentioned, I'm here with my lovely son, who, because of laws of schooldom, can't go back to school within 24 hours of having a fever. Uh-huh. I assure you, those of you who are in this room, he is fine.
He looks like the picture of it. I'd like to look that healthy.
Wouldn't we all?
Yeah.
Well, later we can use that Emperor Palpatine trick and absorb his life force or whatever that whole thing was. That's what I took away from The Rise of Skywalker, is that you breed your young to suck their life force later.
And did you enjoy the film?
I, in fairness, I thought they did the best they could, but there was a lot of, there. First of all, I appreciated a lot of the intentional humor and, you know, playfulness. That was cool. That harkened back to the, as we were watching, you know, Empire Strikes Back mm-hmm. earlier, because he was sick and I was, laid up on a heating pad. The Han Solo Leia moments of, you know, I am not a comedian. So that's good stuff. And so, yeah, I appreciated that. But at a certain point, it's like there was a lot of Dr. Evil. Like, what? I'm going to put them in a very escapable situation and walk away. What? I got a gun in my room. Scott, you know, all I want is 1,000,000 ships with frickin' laser beams. It's like, okay, we got it. But again, you know the best part of that movie? Adam Driver.
Yep.
And his sultriness. I'm intrigued to see him in other movies.
Me
apparently,
too.
Marriage Story was very cool.
He's very good.
So I'll have to check that out. But yeah, you know, go see it. What the heck? I mean, it's fun. At least it was fun, you know?
That's all you want.
That's all I wanted.
Yes.
At that, you know, my wife and I had a date night. So I'm back. Guess who's back?
Yeah.
We're here to do the wine thing again, and boy, do we have some stuff to talk about. So I usually take this first day of the year to kind of touch on trends, what's going on, what's been happening, what's going on, what we might see in 2020. And man, I usually have very trite stuff to talk about, and we'll do some trite stuff, but we'll also do some really, really serious stuff, because that's what we need to do, right? I mean, this is our platform to talk about serious stuff. The first two serious things we're going to talk about that's going to affect wine. So we've talked a little bit about the tariffs. I'm going to talk a little bit more about it, because some of the things I'm hearing is, American wine will sell better. We'll just buy wine from other places. Of course, I'm referring to the fact that next Monday, the 13th, there is a proposal that could increase the entire European Union up to 100%. There has already been a 25% tariff on certain wines, and that has not been fun to deal with. But 100% tariffs will literally destroy the industry on so many levels. I mean, people just cannot absorb 100% tariffs. And it's essentially, people think that the wine industry is big, and perhaps that's my fault as well. You know, I tell people, you know, a lot of the wine is made by these big guys. At this point, 100% tariffs is not going to touch the big guys, the medium guys, or the small guys.
Right.
It's going to touch every single person. Small producers, importers, me. I mean, and they're not just talking about wines. They're talking about cheeses. They're talking about literally everything that I sell. That's a problem. And fortunately, at least today, I know that a lot of the titans of our industry were testifying as to this. And if you folks get my newsletter, or you can go online and find the official comment section on this particular question, and I invite you to do it, because it's frankly absurd.
Now, I signed the petition. Is that something people can still do?
The petition is out there, but the more important thing, and this is the official government regulations website, regulations.gov, and this is, I apologize, I forgot to bring the official name of the thing, but if you look up wine tariffs, if you look up rare wine company tariffs, the president of the rare wine company wrote a very stirring letter to the gentleman who's tasked with this, and he includes these links. But basically, you go onto this page, and at the top corner there's a blue button that says comment, because this is the public comment period, and I invite you to do so. And if you are afraid of, you know, not knowing what to say in that rare wine company letter, he has a sort of generic letter that you can copy and paste, which includes the reference to the actual proposal and things like that. It's real serious. And why is it serious? You know, because American wines are going to suffer too. Europe is not going to buy American wines, right?
Right.
We are cutting ourselves off from people, and we're doing it out of spite. We're doing this for based on business things that have nothing to do with what we're talking about. And even so, just, I don't quite want to get super political, but just consider what's going on here, and do comment as you will. But let's talk about what they're saying. Well, you can get it from other places. Well, one of the other fun trends is that one of the other major producers of wine in the world is on fire.
Yeah.
It's on fire. So Australia is pretty much not going to be able to provide us with a lot of wine for a while. Not only are they not going to be able to provide us with wine, but hundreds of species are never going to be seen again. It's a disaster. And for anybody who wants to question climate change, including the government of Australia,
the prime minister, for goodness sakes. Hey.
I just don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. You've got a continent burning up. Okay. So those are the fun, disturbing trends that we have. Let's talk about a trend that we can all get behind, and hopefully we'll take our minds off of it.
I like that.
Weed wine.
What?
Baby. Now that we are seeing the legalization of cannabis and its byproducts, it is happening.
Wow.
It is happening. You are going to see, and on a greater sort of topic, you're going to start to see wines for other people. Not only wines for people who are looking for perhaps, you know, CBD involved in them, or THC, you know, either to give you a buzz or to relieve pain or things like that. Which you are now seeing in, you know, seltzers and also beers. I mean, you're seeing it in every aspect of the beverage industry, infusions of various byproducts of marijuana. It's happening. You like it? Great. You don't? Sorry. It's like screw caps. It's going to happen. And obviously, this is going to be a state-by-state thing until it becomes federally legal, but it is absolutely happening out there, and there it is. Now, another thing that's happening on the other end of that, people who don't want to get their buzz on but still want to drink wine, there has been a real call, and I've seen it in my store, we're seeing the rise of mocktails. You go out right now, and on legit drink lists, there are thought-out, you know, non-alcoholic drink options. But man, there is nothing in the wine industry that is drinkable. I mean, There's one California winery, but it's like basically impossible to get. I've tried their stuff. It's pretty good. But there is nothing that is readily available that is good. And I honestly think we're going to start to see that change. we are going to start to see legitimate people trying to offer something that people can go out to a bar, people can stay in, and they cannot consume alcohol but enjoy the taste of either straight non-alcoholic wine or perhaps a wine spritzer without alcohol or something like that, which I think is great. I mean, honestly, it's a lot of people want to go out and be the designated driver and be part of it, and or they've got medical problems or whatever, and the options, I'm telling you, just have been very pathetic, truly, honestly. And it's also cool because, as I said, bartenders and mixologists, they want these sorts of things as well. So when there's industry demand for it, you tend to see it more. Another sort of interesting trend that we're going to watch is also in an era where everybody's sort of looking for value. And honestly, I mean, for this segment, I come on, I do a bunch of research, and all these people from, Europe to America to South America to Asia are saying that people are looking for value. Well, that's obviously true. Everybody is. Your dollar doesn't stretch nearly as far as it used to. And yet I keep reading, and this has been, confirmed by my colleagues in the industry after this research, that everybody is leaning towards premiumization. They're looking to sell wines, not necessarily... They're already, I guess the point is, they're already selling wines in the 10 to 15, 15 to 20. But now people are really making a push for 20 to 30 and 30 to 40, seeing this as the new landscape. And I guess my cautionary tale is, as someone who's trying some of these, some of them are really, really blatant attempts to just dress up something boring. It's like, what is it? The Cadillac Escalade. I'm sorry for anyone just driving an Escalade, but it's just like a GMC with some more leather or something like that. But, I don't want that. Like, if you're going to pay $25 for a bottle of wine in my store, I'd like to think that there's a reason you're paying $25, right? And that when you leave the store, you know why. And it's not necessarily because it's oaky. But I feel like a lot of these attempts have veered in that direction. I'm running out of time, so I want to hit one last thing because I love it. Rosé is legit. Now yes. It's super legit. Like Moët Hennessy is buying Château des Clowns, which is they're the guys who do the Whispering Angel. Prosecco is about to get a Rosé DOP. That's the official designation, which can have up to 15% Pinot Noir. So Rosé is now awesome. It's there. So drink it and drink it proud. Just for fun today, we're drinking the Lila Neroscuro. This is their Rosso Piceno. Rosso Piceno is from the Marche region of Italy, which is basically across the Apennine Mountains from the Tuscany region.
Very nice.
Montepulciano and Sangiovese. It's absolutely freaking delicious. And you should buy some for your next whatever you're drinking because it goes with everything. And then tasting this month on the 16th, we're doing staff favorites. As far as the rest of what I was sort of talking about in terms of maybe price increases, I will let you know when I know. This is Eric Mee, and you're listening to Downtown with Rich Kimble.
Look at that. Sneak that in at the end. Very nice. Thank you, Dueling Erics.
Cheers.
Message in the Bottle every Tuesday here on Downtown.